Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
You're listening to Here's the Catch with David Lombardi, Matt Barrows, and Dennis Brown on the Athletic Podcast Network.
It was the first home start for Trey Lance, and after a rocky beginning to the game, he performed well, and the 49ers beat the team that they should have beaten. The Houston Texans came in at 4-11. They're now 4-12 because the 49ers won this one 23-7. We'll chop it all up from the first half to the second half to the big picture. And the big picture right now is the 49ers are 9-7, but they have not yet clinched their playoff berth. They're going to have to wait until week 18. And I guess that really fits with the theme of this 2021 season. It's been really, really dramatic, exciting, frenetic, up and down, whatever you want to call it. The 49ers are going to have to wait until the very final week of the regular season to learn their fate, determine their fate when they play the Rams. But first things first, they crossed the bridge that was in front of them. That was the Houston Texans. It was an excellent game for the 49ers defense, arguably their best of the year, 3.6 yards per play allowed. That's 2019 defense level stuff. And Matt, Trey Lance did the job. Even though it was shaky at the start, he did throw that pick in the first half. He found his rhythm in that two-minute drill, and then he really did show up in the second half with some explosive plays.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it quite matched the gushing, flowery praise we were hearing from 49ers defensive players about how he's looked in practice. But I think there was a chance that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to get off to a slow start in this game, too. I mean, that sometimes happens after these 10-game rests, and then the team eventually wakes up. And I think we all kind of thought that might be the case, that once the third quarter rolls around, the 49ers start to really kind of push the inferior team around. That's what happened. And I do think that Lance got better as the game went on. I think he was better than he was against the Cardinals in week 5. I think the fact that the 49ers running game started to take over in the second half really helped him. He was under center quite a bit on the majority of those second half snaps, and he ran play action on a lot of them. The touchdown to Deebo Samuel was a thing of beauty. It looked a lot like the touchdown to Trent Sherfield. Remember, that was the first ever Trey Lance touchdown in the preseason. This was the same exact play, but to the opposite side. And so that's sort of the bread and butter. When Trey Lance has a running game, when he can use the play action, when he can do the things that he did at North Dakota State, he's a lot more comfortable. And I think we saw that as the game went on.
You're exactly right. He got better as the game went. I remember watching that first quarter, and I think it was back-to-back plays. He took some pretty serious shots, and I was starting to think, this kid's not going to make it through this football game. And then it seems like something kind of happened. I think the interception, Marcel Harris's interception kind of changed the vibe of the game with the momentum of the game. Defense start kind of getting after the Texans on their side of the ball. And then I think you get comfortable. Elijah Mitchell, again, I thought he was going to be on a kind of a pitch count, but, he went out there and he balled out over 100 yards. So that helped him out a lot. But he got better as the game went. And that's what you want to see. And this is what happens when you get, full-time game reps. You get better. You start seeing things differently. Things start slowing down for you, and you don't seem as nervous. I think that first quarter he seemed a little bit nervous. And we know he's an athlete. I mean, I can remember one play I think it was the second quarter where he's in the end zone. They were backed up. He's in the end zone. He's gone through his full progressions. And we talked about how slow the ball gets out of his hands, but he was able to go through his progressions. And then with his legs extend the play, outside the pocket and make a play down the field to Brandon Ayuk. So he's an athlete. I think he needs more reps. He's a guy that I think once he gets to more reps, he understands the offense, he believes in what he can see, he's going to be all right. But he needs those reps, and it's too bad it's week 18 now. And, you know, he hasn't got that many reps. But he got better as the game went, so you got to be encouraged by that. Got to play a lot better. Kyle Shanahan has a big decision on his hand. You know, come in the Rams game, you need this Rams game. So, you know, who do you put out there? Even though you own the Rams, but who do you put out there as your quarterback against the Rams in a must-win? I mean, a must-win game against the Rams.
Yeah, this is coming down to the wire. We'll obviously go through some of these scenarios in a bit, but I think first we should just kind of break down Trey Lance's performance. That deeper throw for the touchdown to Deebo Samuel I thought was really impressive because Lance threw it to where only Deebo Samuel could get it. First of all, that did require some arm strength, obviously going a little bit across the field, but far downfield toward the boundary. And I don't want to say he underthrew it because it was completely intentional. He threw it and made Samuel's route really, kind of soften up, right? He kind of came back toward the line of scrimmage because that's exactly where the coverage dictated that the ball should go. So I thought that was really impressive ball placement on a throw deep downfield from Trey Lance. And to be honest, Matt, after the first couple drives of the game, it was easy to see this trending back toward a week five direction, right? Where the 49ers ran Trey Lance 16 times. I guess some of those runs were of his own accord, but still he ran way too many times. He left with a knee injury and the pocket passing just wasn't, you know, refined or on point in that game, and the 49ers lost to Arizona. Well, early on in this game, Lance ran twice and he just got trucked both times.
Yeah,
so, I mean, yeah, I mean, he was on pace to get hit way too many times again, and it didn't look like the 49ers had any confidence in his ability to throw downfield. Didn't look like Trey had any confidence in his own ability to throw downfield, but he finally gained that with that 2-minute drill at the end of the half, and they did all the good things that Dennis has been talking about and that I just listed in that second half.
I tallied up. There were 24 total hits that he took against the Cardinals. That was on the 16 runs, and he also got hit 8 times as a quarterback in the pocket. Today, or on Sunday, it was the total was 9. So 7 runs, and most of those came in the first half. And you're right, he took some big shots, and it looked a lot like the Cardinals game. But then they stopped running him. There was the design run for a touchdown that got called back on a Brandon Ayuk holding call. But not very many of those. And then the best part was just 2 quarterback hits, 1 sack, 1 additional hit. Which means that offensive line was doing a great job. It's not the Cardinals' defense. I think that's something that a lot of fans or a lot of listeners will be howling about. There's a real disparity in the opponents here. The Texans just don't have the defense that the Cardinals did, and the Rams do. So that's something to think about moving forward. But I mean, you never want to say that guys came out of the game cleanly, because on Mondays, Shanahan's list of injuries always seems to be a lot longer than it was on Sunday. But it didn't seem as if Trey Lance was hurt, or beyond that first quarter and a half, took any big shots either. It was the 49ers who were in control, who were delivering the blows from that point forward.
Yeah, and you know, and here's what I see with Trey Lance, and I don't know much about the quarterback position, but I know how to play a little bit of defense. So if you have a quarterback that is going to threaten you vertically down the football field, it's going to open up your run game. And I think that's what Trey brings to the table, that what Jimmy Garoppolo does not. I mean, he's not going to throw the ball deep. I saw some deep balls by Trey Lance today that, you know, you just don't see within this offense with Jimmy Garoppolo. And it opens up, you know, your run game. Elijah Mitchell had, again, over 100 yards. And it's because you have to respect that vertical game. I mean, the 49ers, they don't have that speed burner down the field. But if you have a quarterback that you think on the defensive side that can get behind you, get behind the defense, you're going to respect it. You're going to keep 2 safeties back, and that's going to open up the run game. So I think that's what Trey Lance brings to this offense. And it's encouraging to see, you know, he's got that strong arm. He had a couple nice throws downfield. He had that one PI. So it's good to see that part of the 49ers offense kind of develop, that respect for the long game.
Well, let's look at the final line for Trey Lance. I mean, this is a very Shanahan-esque box score for the 49ers, the type that you see after a good, balanced offensive performance. Trey was 16 of 23 for 249 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Meanwhile, the 49ers ran the ball 37 times for 175 yards. So when you talk about the 49ers offense and how they're built, they want to run the football at volume. They were able to run the football at volume today with those 37 carries. Lance had 8 of them. Debo Samuel had 7. Obviously, Elijah Mitchell was the workhorse with 21. But in order to do that, you have to convert enough with the pass game to move the chains and give the running game that kind of opportunity. And I thought that Trey Lance, especially in the second half, did that. Up until that two-minute drill in the first half, the 49ers were inefficient. The interception was a bad one. I don't think Lance should have attempted to throw, even though in the post-game press conference he said he just threw it too low. I wasn't sure about that. I thought there were two guys, and the underneath defender was covering it well. So that's something that the 49ers hope that Trey Lance learns from. But once he found that rhythm, he looked like a different quarterback in the context of Shanahan's offense, with the play action, with the pocket presence, the awareness, you know, the ability to step up, you know, use that athleticism a little bit to move around. And that's all great news for the 49ers, because there's a good chance they're going to need more of this from Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown yet, right? And he Shanahan thinks he's going to throw this week. But Shanahan also has not really been accurate with any of his prognoses for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Shanahan's the worst person to ask on this.
So we're not sure what's going to happen to Jimmy Garoppolo moving forward. I think the 49ers would really like to have him back against the Rams, because that has proven to be a winning formula. A healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, even an unhealthy Jimmy Garoppolo, beat the Rams last season, right? Even Nick Bullens beat them last year. But the 49ers have the formula to beat the Rams, and it's what we saw them apply against the Texans. That's run at volume and pass efficiently enough. And Lance was able to execute it against Houston. I don't know if he can execute it against the Rams. We'll see what happens this week, but it was a good step in the right direction for the rookie.
Yeah, and we should note that Garoppolo is 5-0 against the Rams. So, yeah. I mean, I think if Garoppolo is even 75%, Shanahan's going to tap him. But you're absolutely right. I mean, Shanahan in this thumb injury has been bizarre. He's been wrong at every stage of this. And what's worse is that there's been a big discrepancy between what he says and then what these national reporters, who presumably are talking to Garoppolo's camp, are saying about the thumb, including whether it's going to require surgery. Shanahan says, no, I don't think it's going to require surgery. I mean, it could get worse, but right now we don't think it's going to need surgery. Ian Rappaport, and by the way, they're both playing for the same team. Ian Rappaport works for the NFL, so does Kyle Shanahan, says he does need surgery afterwards. So there's a real not on the same page effect going on here about how bad this thumb is. To me, it's going to be Wednesday. If he's out there on Wednesday, I think he plays. If he misses all of Wednesday, I think we're looking at another Trey Lance game. And it's just going to be so interesting, because it's a much better opponent on the road with everything on the line in this one, Dennis. And it's going to be so interesting to see how he matches up against a team that historically Garoppolo has matched up very well against.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Kyle Shanahan said that there's still hope for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he can still play We're going to see if he can throw the football. So, and I just think if there's any chance, I mean, if there's any chance Jimmy Garoppolo to play, Kyle Shanahan's going to put him in the football game. And just I think, I don't know if he's got more trust in a Jimmy Garoppolo, or does he see the line where Jimmy Garoppolo is 5-0 against the Rams. But when you have again, you can keep developing this kid. I mean, I know it's high pressure. You must win, but that's what quarterbacks do. Quarterbacks learned to play in high pressure situations. And this was a great game because the Texans weren't a very good football team. You got to play better against the Rams, but what a great opportunity to get your future quarterback some serious playing time and put the game in his hands and say, listen, you're going to be the guy moving forward. We need you to produce. And this is what the NFL is about. But it really sounds like Kyle Shanahan wants, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo to start against the Rams. And if there's any chance, I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't see Jimmy Garoppolo starting on Sunday or Saturday, wherever the game's going
to
happen.
All right. You guys want me to go through the playoff scenarios here for the 49ers?
Yes, please.
All right. So here's the deal. The 49ers are 9-7. The Eagles are 9-7, but they've already punched their ticket to the playoffs due to advantageous tiebreakers. I'm not going to get that far into it. And the Saints are 8-8. So there only two of those teams can make the postseason, and Philadelphia is already guaranteed of a spot. So it's either going to be the currently 9-7 49ers or the currently 8-8 Saints as the last NFC playoff spot, although the 49ers can get the number 6 seed. So that I know that's confusing, but basically there's only one available spot. It's between the 49ers and the Saints. The 49ers' nightmare scenario is if all three of those teams finish 9-8. It would create a three-way tie, and the 49ers don't have the necessary tiebreakers to win that three-way tie, namely conference record. So the 49ers can either go out and beat the Rams next week. They control their own destiny. That'll clinch a playoff spot. That would make the 49ers 10-7, and it would mean that New Orleans can't catch them. If that doesn't happen, the 49ers have to hope that New Orleans loses to the Falcons, because if New Orleans catches the 49ers and both of those teams end up 9-8, it's not good for the 49ers, and I don't even think they win a head-to-head tiebreaker against New Orleans. I wrote a whole piece on it this Monday, but it comes down to this. It comes down to either the 49ers beating the Rams and they're 5.5-point underdogs to open that, or the Falcons beating the Saints and the Falcons are 4.5-point underdogs to New Orleans. So one of those two things has to break in the 49ers' favor. They need at least one of those games to break in the underdogs' favor to make the playoffs. If it doesn't, they won't make the playoffs. So does that make sense?
Sounds like if they win the game against the Rams, and they're going to be the 6 seed, and the Eagles are going to be the 7 seed based on the head-to-head. Is that right?
I think so, yes, because they'd have the same record, I would think. Well, Philadelphia still has to play Dallas, I believe, next week. So we'll see.
But it goes to head-to-head at that point.
Yes, exactly. But I guess theoretically Philadelphia could win, and the 49ers could lose, and New Orleans could also lose, right? In that case, Philadelphia would be ahead of the 49ers. 49ers would be 7, New Orleans would be out. So there's a number of different ways this can break out, but Philadelphia will be in no matter what. And it really will depend on that Saints-Falcons game and the 49ers-Rams game.
So Philadelphia is already clinched.
Yes, Philadelphia is clinched because of tie-breaking scenarios, namely conference record. You look at that's one of the highest tiebreakers. I mean, head-to-head is the highest tiebreaker. The 49ers have that over the Eagles, but they don't have that against the Saints. So if there's a three-way tie, you know, you could skip head-to-head because there's not enough head-to-head to break that tie. So they'd move the conference record. And right now the 49ers are at 6-5 conference record. And if they lost to the Rams, they'd be 6-6. Meanwhile, Philadelphia is 7-4 conference record. And New Orleans, if they win next week, would be 7-5. They're 6-5 right now. So they would, if the 49ers lose this week and New Orleans wins next week, the 49ers would have a worse conference record than both the Eagles and the Saints. Therefore, they would be pushed out of the playoff picture.
So, Dennis, the question is to you, if you're the 49ers, which team would you most want to avoid in the first round? I mean, among those division winners, the Cowboys, looks like the Rams, or maybe not the Rams, but Cowboys, Packers, and Buccaneers.
Ooh, I would be, you know, just happy to be in the playoffs to get in it. But if they said, hey, who you don't want to play, those are all tough teams. But you're more familiar with Green Bay. It's better to play a team you're familiar with, kind of know their tendencies and kind of know, you know, what to expect. But you would hate to go on the road and be in Green Bay with it, you know, 10 below zero or wherever they play there. You would love to play a team that's got a dome or play the Rams when you're still on the West Coast. So that's a tough question. But if you're in the playoffs, you know, you play whoever they tell you to play. But you're familiar with Green Bay and you know what to expect. But you don't want to play in that cold. I remember that was my last game as an NFL player, was playing the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, and it's a miserable memory.
Yeah, and that actually might happen if the 49ers, that Lambeau Field game, if the 49ers get in. Right now they're the 6, and Tampa Bay is the 3 after this wild slate of games, so that would be the wild card game, and Green Bay is on its way to the 1. I think they play the Lions, right, in week 18. So they should secure that number one seed, which would mean that the lowest surviving seed of the wild card game advances to play against the Packers. So if the 49ers somehow would be able to get through Tampa Bay, they'd have to go to Lambeau Field in January, which I don't think anybody thinks is fun. But there's so many interesting possibilities right now. The 49ers just have to keep their eyes on the nearest prize. That's the only, you know, prize that they can fight for right now. That's actually making it. And it's dicier than it probably should be for the 49ers. But this is the cards that they've earned. And then they have to go forward and get the job done against the Rams next week. Or they have to hope that the Falcons, and you shouldn't count on the Falcons to do anything this year. We saw that's not a good team. But they have to hope that it breaks in their favor somehow, some way next week.
Also dicey is who's going to be playing cornerback in this finale. Because Josh Norman got pulled from this game, and it was Dante Johnson and Ambry Thomas at the end of it. I wasn't paying close enough attention. I know that Norman had the PI. That to me didn't seem like quite enough to be pulled from the game. I don't know whether there were other issues with him earlier on, but it seemed like an abrupt hook that he got. So it was Dante Johnson and Ambry Thomas, and both of them played well, although Dante Johnson did get hit with his own PI, which was interesting, right after the Norman one. But he played well from that point on. But we also might have Emmanuel Mosley coming back for this game. So it really kind of throws into up in the air that cornerback situation, which, you know, just like quarterback, is very appropriate for this season because it's been turning over quite a bit, but I have no idea at this point what the cornerback composition is going to be for the Rams game. That's obviously a huge, huge factor when you've got Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford on the slate.
You know, I don't know how you cover Cooper Kupp. I just, you know, from that slot position, I mean, he's impossible to cover, and it's going to be tough for that secondary. And you know, I like Dante Johnson. I think he came and he played very well. Emmanuel Mosley, I mean, he's been, I don't even know when the last time Emmanuel Mosley played, so it's going to take him some time to get back in the flow of things. But, you know, you got to think that the Rams and McVay are looking at that secondary thinking, we're just going to throw the football because, you know, if that pass rush can't get, you know, to Matthew Stafford, I mean, you know, you can pick apart this secondary. So, yeah, that's going to be the story of the week. Who's going to be the cornerbacks? And if I remember right, I think Dante and Josh Morgan were kind of rotating throughout the game. And then after that PI, they kind of yanked him. And then, you know, Dante goes in and gets another one. But he played well after that PI. But this, I mean, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, he's coming on. You know, they've got some weapons in that receiving room for the Rams. And that's going to be the big question this week. How are they going to defend that in this must-win game?
Well, this is what I wrote about, and I know that everybody else wrote about Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, so that this is the reason I wrote about the defense, is so we'd have our usual plethora of balanced coverage at the Athletic. So I got to write about the defense. And for me, it was a really interesting game for the 49ers defense because they were, you know, also one of the culprits in that loss to Tennessee. I mean, remember how bad they were on third down against the Titans? They gave up 9 third downs in that game, even though Tennessee's average distance to go on those plays was 10.8 yards. I mean, it was uncharacteristic, right? The 49ers had been, especially over the back half of the season, opportunistic defensively. They'd been good situationally, and then they were just terrible against the Titans. Ryan Tannehill picked them apart, and let's be honest, along with the two Garoppolo interceptions, that was, you know, the chief reason why the 49ers lost the game. So this was going to be a challenge for the 49ers defense to get back on track, because the Texans were coming off their best offensive performance, or one of their best offensive performances of the season. And I think the 49ers, Matt, really, really answered the bell. First of all, their defensive line delivered a balanced pass rush, even though Houston did a lot of max protect, especially against Nick Bosa. So no sacks for Bosa again in this game, but the 49ers got a sack from Eric Armstead, they got a sack from Sansom Ebukam, they got one from Arden Key, and they got one from Jordan Willis. And a balanced pass rush is what the 49ers must have in week 18 and potentially beyond, right? Because they can't be over-reliant on Bosa like they were early in the year. So that was there, and the balanced pass rush helped lead directly into the Marcel Harris interception. It was Arden Key who delivered the pressure over right guard, and Harris delivered the game-changing pick. And that was you know, point two for me. The 49ers linebackers, despite missing Dre Greenlaw and Azeez Alshire, played excellent football. Fred Warner, season-high 15 tackles, forced fumble. Marcel Harris, first career interception, 10 tackles. I mean, on the second level, they're flying around. And to me, it's just so important that the 49ers have that front seven cooking, and they may get Greenlaw and Alshire back soon. And that's great for this team, because that's the basis of this defense. And we talk about the shakiness at cornerback, who's going to start, you know, all this, all that. Well, you can mask some of that if you're strong in the front seven. And I thought today was a good example of the 49ers being strong in the front seven.
Yeah, I thought Warner had a mammoth game. We talked 2 weeks ago about his game against the Falcons being the best one of the season. I thought that today's or Sunday's was right up there with that one. I thought he was a little bit off against Tennessee. Three missed tackles in that game, and he was part of the problem on those third downs. But a big bounce-back game for him. It was great to see Marcel Harris have that game. I think that would allow the 49ers to be a little bit more reassured that he could handle 60, 70 snaps against the Rams if it comes to that, which would allow them to rest Azeez Alshire one more week or so. And you're right. I mean, they're not getting the sacks from Nick Bosa these last 2 weeks. He had either a tight end or a running back or some combination on at least three quarters of his pass rushes against the Texans. But these other guys are stepping up. I mean, Sansom Ebukam, I forget where he is right now, 4.5 sacks maybe. There's a bunch of guys at 4.5 sacks around that mark. Arden Key again, you know, and that's what needs to happen. I mean, if teams are ganging up on Nick Bosa, the others have to fill in. And I think we have seen that these last two games. Sansom Ebukam is playing his former team here in week 18. This would be a really nice week to have your kind of your breakthrough game, the game that sort of proves why the 49ers decided to give him a two-year contract in free agency. Hasn't really had that. Had a nice game against the Bears in week 8 and some nice plays here and there. He needs to have a huge game, and it would be nice poetry, I think, if he did. But that needs to happen, because it seems as if teams are kind of figuring out how to handle Bosa.
We don't talk much about Eric Armstead, because, you know, he doesn't have the big sack numbers, but he's a blue collar guy, and, you know, he's moved inside. I think he's helped that run game, that run support, so very much. I think his pass rushing, up the middle today, the pocket wasn't collapsing from the outside in. It was collapsing from the inside out, and that was because of Eric Armstead. And some of these guys are, like you said, they're stepping up. I think Ebukam had one of his better games today. He stayed in the backfield. Jordan Willis in the backfield. So I think these guys are kind of figuring out, hey, we have an opportunity to be superstars too. It's not all about Nick Bosa. We have an opportunity because we're single. We're one-on-one. You know, I can work on a technique the entire week and perfect it and come into a football game and get some pressure. So this defensive line showed up today, especially in the second half. They really got after Davis Mills. I mean, they really got. I mean, he was under pressure every time he dropped back to throw the football. And there was that one where he got the there was roughing the passer, which I really don't understand. But you know, he was fighting it. You know, every time he went to throw the ball, he had defensive linemen in his face. So, you know, again, it's not the same offensive line as the Rams, but this defense has to show up next week to help this offense help the offense out next week against the Rams.
Well, it's amazing that it's all coming down to this, and we're gonna have some fun scenarios to talk about this week. But you guys are right; it comes down to playing good, solid, complementary football. And I thought that the 49ers pass rush today was complementing itself. Right, you have to make up for the double teams against Nick Bosa, and that's been a story on both sides of the football for the 49ers. Right, they've had a standout on both sides of the ball that has carried way too much of the load, and that was happening earlier in the season. So on defense, it was Nick Bosa who was carrying all the load for them, at least pass rush wise. And on offense, it was Debo Samuel who was getting like 80% of the targets. And the 49ers turned it around and started playing more consistently winning football when they began giving both of those guys help, when they began diversifying the load on offense and on defense. So Brandon Ayuk's emergence was really important offensively. George Kittle got healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo and now Trey Lance started spreading the ball around. And on defense, they spread the pass rush around. And, you know, now the linebackers are getting healthy. And, you know, the Achilles heel of this team has been that cornerback room. The two more pass interference penalties, by the way. The 49ers lead the league with 19 DPIs this season, and they've lost 360 yards on those penalties. Number two is Tampa Bay, and they've lost only 255 yards. So the 49ers have lost nearly four football fields worth of yardage just due to DPIs, and over a football field more than the second worst team. So you know, Ambry Thomas had the nice play today, almost had the interception, didn't get it. So step up for Ambry Thomas, but they need more and more steps up, the 49ers do, because good quarterbacks that they'll see in the playoffs, they're going to try to victimize them on those pass interference calls. Those could be brutal. They have been, and the 49ers still are not out of dodge on that one.
Yeah, we've seen steady progress from Ambry Thomas throughout. I mean, I forget how many starts he has in a row now. It might be four, might be five, but if you start with that first one and go to now, it's a little bit better each time. And he should have had the pick six early in the game. This would have made it a much more lopsided game than it ended up being. But, I mean, you kind of feel that with the incremental steps that he makes, that's coming. That sort of play is coming because he's made, like I said, really visible progress with each of these games. So that's why that position, quarterback, obviously is the most interesting one, the biggest question mark heading into Rams week, but cornerback is right behind it there. And I think we should also shout out the special teams, because that group has taken a lot of criticism, and deservedly so, in recent weeks, but it stepped up in this game as well. It wasn't just Elijah Mitchell, who was on a pitch count in week five, and Jeff Wilson, who was missing, George Kittle, who was missing. Robbie Gould also was missing in that game. That was a Joey Sly game. Gould was back for this one. He handled all the kickoffs because Mitch Wichnowski had just come off the COVID list, and he was 3 of 3 on his field goal. So it was a good, strong bounce-back effort from that unit, and you know they have to win that against the Rams, and they did in that first meeting. That was a decisive play that they had, snuffing out the fake punt. So you know, that's a good sign for going into this finale in Los Angeles.
And I'm sitting here thinking it all comes down to Week 18. This season, for some reason, it was just long. I mean, the way it started off in the middle, you know, Jimmy getting hurt again, seeing Trey Lance come in, him getting hurt, Jimmy coming back, playing really well. And then last week against the Titans, you know, getting the bad Jimmy. Then he's hurt again. Now Trey Lance. It just seems like this season has been just very long. And now it comes down to the last football game of the season. And you have the opportunity just to get yourself into playoffs, and you got to beat a divisional rival. So, I mean, this is what football is about. And like I talked about with Trey Lance, this is the pressure that comes with playing in the National Football League. And the expectations are you go out and you win football games, especially when you're a quarterback. So it's going to be a fun week. Just hearing all the reports and following social media, I think Kyle Shanahan has a decision to make. And I feel like he wants to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you look at the tape, I mean, you can see this kid. I can kind of see the potential. Not fully see the potential, but I can kind of see the potential. You want to draft this kid so high, but you got to give him some more reps. Is this the opportunity you want to give it to him? Give him the keys now. Let him take the team into the playoffs. But it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays itself out.
Yeah. I mean, first we're going to be on injury watch, which means we are going to be at practice. We're going to see how Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing, if he is throwing. And then we're going to be covering Kyle Shanahan's decision-making as far as the most important position. And who knows, maybe the 49ers do have that January surprise in them, which would be back to square one, something they talked about during training camp, and they even auditioned in the preseason. And that is a two-quarterback approach, something where they find a way to play both Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Earlier in the year, it wasn't a feasible thing for Kyle Shanahan to continue doing. Maybe now it will be, since Garoppolo is going to be at least somewhat compromised no matter what, given the injury. I mean, it's a ligament tear in his thumb, so that's not going to be healed for at least a few weeks. And Trey Lance is better now. That was clear. I mean, if you want to look big picture, Trey Lance that played today against the Houston Texans was much better and much more comfortable in the pocket than the Trey Lance who played in week 5 against the Arizona Cardinals. So in the larger picture, that's very promising, reassuring news for the 49ers. But in the, you know, let's game plan for week 18 picture and, you know, potentially the playoffs, that's something that gives Kyle Shanahan, if Jimmy Garoppolo is able to play, gives Kyle Shanahan an added option. So maybe we do see the creative fireworks finale to this season. I just think it's exciting, Matt, because it seems that everything is literally on the table right now. Nothing has been firmly ruled out, right? So, you know, as people who report on this team, we like that because the string of possibilities is endless, and that makes for compelling entertainment.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to keep the Rams guessing going into this week. They're not going to know. Nobody knows at this point, but it is interesting. Yeah, I thought the big kind of looking forward takeaway, just like in week 5, was that Trey Lance wasn't perfect. I mean, he struggled a bit in the first quarter and a half. But again, he didn't look overwhelmed. And I think it's really easy to forget that he's the youngest quarterback in the NFL. The 49ers have taken a long view approach with him. And they want to be as slow and methodical as possible in their development. And he's had to go into these big time situations. First, a road game in Arizona against what at the time was the best team in the league, narrowly lost that one. But again, looked composed for the most part. Looked like he belonged. You know, the playoffs were on the line in this one. Yes, it was against the Texans, but there was a lot of pressure. And I thought early on, oh boy, is the pressure going to get to this kid? And is he going to kind of shrink under the weight of it all? He didn't. And I think that's a big deal. And I just wonder whether we'll come back to these two games at some point in Trey Lance's future. Look back at his first season and kind of go over these games that he's played. They might end up being really big kind of markers for him. They're definitely going to be big markers for him. I wonder whether they're going to be big markers in the context of him being a really good quarterback, because I think the 49ers are still very, very much excited, enthused, love everything that they are seeing from him. It's happening slowly, though. I think today's game was a sign. I hope 49ers fans understand this, that even next year, with all the reps that he's going to be getting in the summer and the spring, et cetera, et cetera, there's going to be missteps along the way. It's not going to be Patrick Mahomes, I don't think, the way that Mahomes was in 18 and 19. But having said that, I think that the future is very positive for, like I said, the youngest quarterback in the NFL.
I like the kid. You know, there's no G League in football. I mean, college is your G League. You know, he doesn't have any experience, but he's an athlete. And I was on the field today, and he's a big kid, and you know, he's got the athleticism. But you know, there's going to be some learning, some bumps. And you know, he's coming in late now, week 18. So you know, next season is going to be some more bumps. But if you're going to move forward with him, you got to take those bumps and bruises, and hopefully he learns and he's a quick learn.
He was so raw coming out of college. The 21-year-old point is a great one, Matt, because that was something that really concerned me in that first game against the Cardinals. So he's running 16 times. He's getting hit, well, you said 24 times if you counted the hits in the pocket. That's a 21-year-old who had only been hit by, what, future accountants at the FCS level during games before. And then NFL guys were taking 24 shots at him during his NFL starting debut. So it's no wonder that Lance got hurt in week 5. So, I mean, the physical realities of playing as a 21-year-old are, you know, I think very clear. It's good that Lance, you can knock on wood, because we didn't find out about the injury against Arizona till after, but it does seem that he made it through this game unscathed. That's a big win for the 49ers. They are able to play a more sustainable brand of football because they didn't leave him as exposed to all of those hits, and he showed progress where it mattered most, and that was delivering from the pocket, which in turn allowed him to avoid a lot of that physical punishment. So the trajectory is moving in the right direction for both Trey Lance and this 49ers team. But the job is far from finished, and we can't wait to bring you the drama this next week. So we'll be with you in the middle of the week. Make sure that you join the show for the full preview of the 49ers and the Rams and, you know, whatever's going on with the Saints over the course of the weekend, because that's what the 49ers are battling for, the final playoff spot. And then obviously we'll be with you after the 49ers and the Rams play next weekend. So for Matt Barrows and for Dennis Brown, this is David Lombardi. Exciting times on the 49ers podcast. We'll talk to you in a couple days.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.